T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dusty.
You're gonna have to muscle up, big guy, to get it out there.
And friends.
That kangaroo stole my ball.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club. Join Dirt and Sprague June 6th for a day on the course. Secure your tee time now at 1080thefan.com.
Dusty and Friends on 1080 The Fan.
All right, our friend of the day, Andrew Nemec from Scorebook Live. He's the director of recruiting. You guys know him. He's covered the state of Oregon recruiting for several years now. You've heard him on our high school football broadcasts and on the recruiting show with Andrew Nemec. Now you're the whole damn director of recruiting.
Yeah,
it's a pretty big come up nationally.
I get to cover stories like General Booty committing to Oklahoma, but
damn,
also
damn right.
But also, anytime there's a 5-star quarterback or 5-star running back or 5-star edge rusher, it's my job to know what's going on with their recruitments too. So I went from doing a lot of I'm visiting Portland State this weekend because I covered Oregon.
Yay.
And I loved it and it was enjoyable and
Party ball, baby.
I really got to know the state. To okay, I need to track who's going to USC, who's going to Ohio State, who's going to Georgia, who's going to Alabama. So it's a different gig. I'm enjoying it. There's this modern day running back who I saw on film. He's a freshman in high school, and I was like, this kid's unreal. So I hit him up. I was like, we got to do a story, man. And in a 48-hour period, he picked up offers from Arkansas, Alabama, Miami, and he's got like 30 offers already, and he's 15 years old.
Yeah, playing for modern day is probably a good head start on that one too.
Playing varsity and scoring touchdowns as a freshman for modern day. That won a national championship. I mean, it's unbelievable.
All right, let's start with you're a local guy. You grew up in the area. How do you get into recruiting? How do you get into that world? Was that what you wanted to do when you were studying journalism?
No, not at all. I originally thought I'd go and be a lawyer, and I started out majoring in political science at the University of Oregon, and I was always good in school. It was quite easy for me, but I wasn't challenged and I didn't enjoy it. And I thought being a political science major and being a lawyer would lean into my worst behaviors, arguing and being a workaholic.
I could see you chasing some ambulances.
Yeah.
Like a billboard, like
not quite that.
Nemec billboards.
Well, it kind of runs in the family. My stepsister is in charge of all murder cases in King County.
Oh.
So she does all the murders in Seattle. And then my stepbrother-in-law, her husband, is one of the lead prosecutors for Microsoft. So lawyering runs in the family on that side. And I was always really interested in that. And then I ended up doing the sports journalism thing. But I grew up at a really young age, and I think where recruiting was a natural fit for me, and it has to do with our last discussion with high school sports.
Yeah.
My dad coached at Baker High School, and then he was going to coach football. Then he was going to coach basketball for this small 1A, 2A school that had just won a state title and returned their entire rotation of 7 or 8. And it was kind of supposed to be, we'll win you a state title, get you started, and build you up. You know, he was an education major.
Yeah.
He played college football at Eastern Oregon. So it was like, this is how we'll get you started and we'll build you up to be
I hate Eastern Oregon.
A coach. Well, I know. Whatever. Go, you know, Mountaineers. Anyway, and then my brother was born, and he was born handicapped, and so he stopped coaching, but he still had that passion for it and that love for it, but really too busy dealing with me and an older brother who was handicapped. And then my brother died when I was in second grade, and there was a lot of dysfunction with that and a lot of depression in the household with that, but It also is a very weird, you know, dark silver lining. We suddenly had a lot of time and nobody wanted to be at home.
Right.
So we started going to a lot of high school games. And my dad's coaching side came out taking me to all these high school games where he'd say, find me the best lineman. Who's the best receiver? And I'm in second grade. You know,
right, right.
Pick out the best football player on the field. It doesn't matter what position, not quarterback, not running back. Pick out the best. And we'd go to games all the time. I mean, that was what we did. That's why I know all those rosters. Is I grew up going, oh, Barlow's playing Oregon City. Let's go. Clackamas is playing so. Actually, Clackamas sucked back then. But, you know, Jefferson's playing so-and-so. Let's go. And we just went. You know, Tigard and Camby are both top three in the state. We're going. We're going to watch that matchup. We'll go to Tigard. So I just grew up like that. And I thought that was really normal. You know, Redmond's good. Let's go to Redmond. You know, right. Let's go see the family. We'll go to three basketball games that week in Redmond. Okay. So I grew up, you know, picking out the best player. And when my brother died, one of the things we did was we'd leave. He'd take me out of school for a doctor's appointment for the first round of the tournament every year. So I would get one of those chocolate malts with the wooden spoon.
You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
At the convention center. And we'd go all day. And we'd go from early morning until the night games. Just first round every year.
Camping out at the Coliseum.
And it was pick out the best player.
Mm.
Who's the best player on the court? Who's the best player? What does he do that you like? Not just shoot. He's not just scoring. What's he doing? What do you like about him? And so that was how I grew up. So I just thought that's how people watch sports.
Yeah.
Is like, well, Michael's great. And I loved Michael. Jordan was my favorite player. But also, when I was watching a normal game, it was like, oh, I like the way he sets screens. You know, like,
right.
I just grew up doing that.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing about just human nature, though, is that tragedy can be like the birthplace of so much passion for people. Because, you, as you said, you know, nobody wants to be home. You start burying yourself into, you know, something that does interest you, and you go back to it and you keep going back to it as your ultimate distraction. But then it becomes your passion and eventually it turns in your direction for what you want to do in your life.
Well, and that's what it was, you know, like we had years, my dad was big on Christmas, and we had years where we left the Christmas tree up till July. I mean, we just weren't functioning at a high level.
Yeah.
But then we weren't home because we were at all these games
and doing stuff.
So people, it's very personal for me when people are like, well, you know, I'm 5'8", 175. I'm not a big guy. And people are like, well, you didn't play college sports. And it's like, you're right. I didn't. My dad played college sports and he coached. My cousins all played at Western or Southern or whatever. They all played at different colleges. So I grew up around it. And then starting at a very young age, my whole world was like scouting.
Identifying it,
and identifying it. And so that's how I learned really, really young. And so I would go to, you know, we would do trips. Like one year we went and we wanted to watch Oregon and Oregon State on the road the same day. So we went and saw Oregon State play Stanford, and then we went to Cal and watched Oregon play Cal in the night game.
That's cool.
Or we would go to the NCAA tournament. We did that every spring break, or a lot of spring breaks in a row. We would go do that kind of stuff. So my whole world was built around sports.
Yeah.
So, no, I didn't play college sports. But I bet I've spent more time scouting than you have. You know, I mean, not you personally.
Exactly.
People say that, too. It's like, that was my whole world.
Yeah.
So that's how I got involved in it. And so I said, you know what? Sports writing, I was always passionate about sports. Love sports. I'm always the most sports geeky guy, sports nerd of anybody in my group of friends, whoever. I remember I was in a fraternity and we would settle debates. There'd be a debate in the fraternity about who's better. And so then knock, knock, knock on my door, who's better? And it'd be two college quarterbacks. And I'd say, it's not close. It's so-and-so. And they're like, see? And that would be like the end of the bet would be like, then they'd give them 10 bucks. Like there'd be a bet, you know, like 10 bucks or beer or whatever. And it's like, who's better? He's like, Nimick said it's over. Like that was the end of the discussion. So I was really nerdy about it. So I was like, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to try to be a sports writer. I'm not going to make a ton of money. I'm not going to be rich. I'm not going to be a lawyer. But I'm really going to love what I do every day. And then I went out in Hillsboro and covered Washington State for a while. I came back to Portland to be with my now wife. I loved her, and I was going to cover high school sports if I came back, but I had to be with her.
Right.
And so I covered stuff out in Hillsboro and just loved it. And was like super passionate, got to know everybody in the community. And Liberty High School made me a plaque that was like community service, because I was there so much that they held an assembly to give me this plaque that was like, thank you for everything you do.
Were you working for like the Argus? The Hillsborough Argus then?
I won Sports Writer of the Year for wrestling, and I got one of those state title trophies that's shaped like the state.
Oh, wow.
That says Sports Writer of the Year in Oregon.
Because like you were the only guy covering high school wrestling?
I was just hammering high school wrestling.
Yeah.
Because that's what Hillsborough cared about. And so I got into it. I would go to matches, I'd sit with the coaches, and I knew nothing about wrestling.
Yeah, you got the Reese's invite out there every year, though.
I'd sit with Adam Reese, and I'd learn, and I'd pick his brain about wrestling. It's because that was what mattered. And so then they were like, man, the Oregonian was like, the kids really like you.
Yeah.
You're out in Hillsborough, and you're getting a ton of page views. Feels like kind of a waste, because even your biggest stories get 75 page views. It seems like pretty huge waste of time. You know, I mean, in terms of their monetizing. So do you know anything about recruiting? And I was like, you know what?
I do
know a little bit about recruiting. And they were like, go ahead and attack it. See what you can do.
Well, it's amazing. And I want to pick this up on the other side with how recruiting started and how you get into that world, because that is a different world than any other form of sports journalism. But when, you know, you're talking about working for, you know, the Argus, it's incredible what an impact that makes to the young athletes out there. Because, I mean, I remember there was this old guy named Ron Forbes who worked for the Hillsborough Argus when I was in high school. And he was covering like kids that I played with. He was covering their dads, like when they were in high school, you know, and it was
always that at the Clackamas Review.
Yeah. It was always a big deal when, you know, you would get interviewed by Ron Forbes or, you know, Aaron Fentress was pounding the pavement doing high school games back when I was in high school. And so like anytime you had any of the guys come out, like it was a huge deal for the community to have that.
We want to cross country. I ran cross country. Again, I was a little guy. We won the cross country district championship. And in the Clackamas Review, we were called legitimate dark horses because Clackamas had never won the league championship. So one of the guys on the team made shirts that said legitimate dark horses because the Clackamas Review guy said we were legitimate dark horses.
Made that guy's day.
I still have that shirt. So when we won, they gave us the trophy. We all wore jackets. And we unzipped our jackets, and in the nerdiest moment in the history of cross country, unveiled legitimate dark horses.
I love that.
Nerdy.
Nemec, how do you get into the world of recruiting? Our friend of the day, Andrew Nemec from Scorebook Live. He's the director of recruiting there on the national level. You can hear him right here on The Fans with the recruiting show with Andrew Nemec. We continue with Nemec next. This is Dusty and Friends on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
Andrew Nemec is our friend today. Scorebook Live Director of National Recruiting. You gave us your background and how like you got interested in sports and going down that road. And I find that fascinating because we never really... realize how or why, you know, people got into this world, right? You know, and it's crazy how everybody finds their way into it. You know, like you could stumble ass backwards into it, like, you know, Suk was telling us how he got into the world of sports and found his passion for it, or it can be more calculated as, you know, you had a passion for it. You were sitting in college and saying, you know what, I'm going to be happy when I work. I'm not going to be a miserable lawyer and be buried in it. I want my passions and maybe some of our ticks to work for good, right? You were saying, like, being a lawyer would have brought out all the worst things in you and your worst traits. This brings out your best because that kind of diving all in, and I don't know if you want to call it an obsession, but becoming obsessed with something in your work is something you would do regardless. Now you're doing it for good and in recruiting world.
Yeah, I mean, you have to ask my family if it's always for good. I'm very busy all the time, and this job has certainly kind of even changed that. You know, when I started doing recruiting at the Oregonian, I just didn't want anything to get past me in terms of news cycle. So
right.
I have a hard time sleeping. I've had a hard time sleeping ever since my brother passed. I always have. I mean, real young, I had a hard time sleeping. I still do. I sleep better, but I wake up in the night now a bunch. Before, I couldn't sleep. He died in his sleep. So that was, for me, really difficult.
Traumatic.
When you're in the second grade and your older brother dies in his sleep, suddenly sleep seems kind of scary.
Yeah.
So.
Well, absolutely.
So I still wake up in the night, and I would make a point if I woke up in the night, that meant I had to write a story before I would allow myself to go back to bed. And I'm kind of getting back into that. I woke up last night and woke up at 3 a.m., got up, wrote a story, put some stuff together for the day, went back to sleep. Because you're up anyway. Yeah. You know you're going to take 45 minutes to go back to bed. You might as well do something with that time. That's just kind of who I am and how I'm wired with stuff.
That explains why some of the stories have, you know, timestamps, or when you have a tweet that I'll be like, damn, Nemec, that's early that you're up and hitting the ground. Huh.
Yeah. Really
interesting.
If I wake up, that means I need to do something with that time.
How did you get into the recruiting world? You know, you mentioned that you were covering high school sports in Hillsboro, and the Oregonian kind of asked you, you know, what do you know about recruiting? And it's easy to say, yeah, I can cover recruiting, but how do you get into that world? Because it is a very niche world, and it's also one where there's a lot of people that are hard to trust, you know, on what information you're getting, whether it's good or bad info that you're getting from people. How did you first go about getting into that world?
Well, I learned from Hillsboro that if you talk to experts and you really dive in, and everybody covers the stars, like, right? If you're from Hillsboro, everybody knows the Colt Ayerla story. So don't start there. Who cares? What's your biggest sport? Oh, wrestling? Okay, I'm going to be at every wrestling event. You're going to see me there all the time. Do I know what's happening? Nope. Do I know the score? No, I don't. But I'm going to be passionate. I'm going to care. I'm going to really care because you care.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to serve you. That's what your job is. So I got into recruiting, and I was like, who knows the most about the prospects? And at the time, that was really Taylor Barton.
Right, yeah.
And a lot of the stuff he was doing. So I got the job, and I immediately tracked down Taylor and Jordan Johnson and those guys because they were doing all that 7-on-7 stuff. Yep. Alex Brink is part of that too. And was like, hey, are you guys having any workouts anytime soon? And they're like, well, yeah, but, you know, the Oregonian doesn't come.
Hey, sorry, bud, you're a little too old.
Well, yeah. It was like, yeah, but who cares? And they were like, well, it's raining too, so we're going to have it at a basketball gym, in the gym.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm coming. They're like, no, you're not.
Okay, weirdo.
Yeah. I was like, no, I'm coming. And so I went and watched Elijah Molden and Brady Breeze and Sam Neuer and, you know, Trevon Bradford and all those guys go through drills, and interviewed all of them and then turned those into stories and tagged them. And that was before Oregon got any cover. I was kind of the only one doing recruiting in the state of Oregon for the first 2 or 3 years.
Right.
It really felt that, other than the big, big, big prospects. But when guys were sophomores, people didn't cover the sophomores in Oregon. And I would, because I was there. You know, Talanoa was an eighth grader, I remember. And I was like, this eighth grader's got something. You know,
he's going to be good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And I just got really passionate about it. And so then I started going to 7-on-7 practices and quarterback workouts. It was like, Eric Dungy's kind of amazing.
The kid was insane.
It's kind of crazy that more people aren't all over this kid. And so I just made it my passion and was as passionate as the athletes who were showing up or tried to match that passion. Okay, you guys are coming 4 hours to do a workout in Salem. I'll drive out to Salem. I'll go out to Salem and see what everybody's doing. So I did. And I got to know everybody. And then I became kind of the voice of recruiting in Oregon. And I really do. There are things that I think are overplayed about, like people say I'm the like the people on the air sometimes say, like Suk and Isaac, they tease me and say, you're the recruiting guru. I'm not, you know, like there are people,
I do say that
there are people more established than me who deserve that moniker. But I do think I had a big part in the Oregon high school football narrative there for a while.
Absolutely.
And I took a lot of pride in that. And I took that responsibility very, very, very seriously.
So you're the reason why everybody left the state and was leaving and not going to Oregon and Oregon State?
Maybe. I don't know.
You're the reason why?
I guess. But I think there was a time when I didn't even know what I was doing. And so I was overhyping kids for a while. Like Dawson right. Jaramillo was. I mean, he was invited to the NFL Hall of Fame camp as an eighth grader. So it was like, this kid's going to be amazing. Well, he plays for Oregon and he's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I wrote this feature that's like, he's the next superstar. And, you know, he ended up being invited to the All-American Bowl and the Under Armour All-American game. So he was good.
He was good.
But he wasn't the way I wrote it. And so I had to learn to kind of scale it back and be more responsible with the hype.
Well, and that's interesting because it's like, he didn't make those games solely on your articles, but they helped, you know, they helped a narrative. And I remember there was, you know, coaches that would come into town. I remember talking to a guy from USC and he was like, is this kid like, is he legit five star? Because I don't know if like we see like four or five star type guy on him, you know, but he's like, but we're here because he is that All-American game type guy where it's not just your writing. He was getting a ton of hype and a ton of coverage, and he ended up going to Oregon. So it's not like he went to a nowhere school. It was like Mario Cristobal obviously saw, hey, we're going to develop this guy into a project where somewhere down the road, he's going to play for us.
Well, and it got so for a while there, because not a ton of people were doing it. I was doing it so much that I was pretty regularly in contact with, like, people think I hated Oregon State.
Why do you hate Oregon State?
Scouting reports to Oregon State.
Why do you hate Oregon then?
I don't
it's
know.
It's hilarious because every fan base thinks you hate them.
I am honest. And in recruiting, all the people giving you information aside from the national guys, Brandon Huffman, Greg Biggins, it's a better fit for me than any type of team site because team sites sell subscriptions.
Yeah.
So their job is to be as positive as possible. In fact, more positive than everyone else because they want you to subscribe.
Right.
So every three star is going to be a superstar and every four star is amazing. And every five star that visits has a pretty good chance of committing to this school. And so when someone comes in and is like, the guys Oregon State got during Gary Anderson's era, they kind of suck. People are like, well, that's not what Rivals for Oregon State is telling me. Right. That's not what 24/7 is telling me for Oregon State's team site. They said we got some sleepers. It's like, you don't got sleepers. They're not any good. You're going to be really bad unless these kids transfer. And I would say it. And people didn't like it. And what was funny is some of those times I would hear back from Oregon State staff after guys signed and they'd say, yeah, our class sucks. We just can't get anybody. and it was like, so I'm getting just killed. And behind the scenes, Oregon State staff is going, you're totally right. We've got some rough kids. We couldn't get some of the guys we wanted. And so all these Oregon State fans for forever have been like, he hates us. Like some of the biggest shots I've taken are like, Gary Anderson is not a good recruiter and not a great coach. They're not going to win while he's there. And Coach Smith needs to hire a closer because he's going to keep missing on quarterbacks because he doesn't have a closer. And where are we? I mean, some of my hottest takes are, fast forward into the future, they're pretty reasonable. Willie Taggart's not a very good coach. Arroyo is a really bad offensive coordinator. Those were all things that people were irate with me for the Ducks and Beavers at the time. And they kind of turned out to be true. Now, I've been wrong about prospects. We're all wrong about prospects sometimes. The draft in the first round, sometimes the number one pick is Jamarcus Russell. But some of the like, he hates the Beavers, he hates the Ducks stuff is funny because where it stems from, people forget where it stems from. It stems from like, hey, guys, Willie Taggart's not good. And they're like, you're the only one saying that. All the team sites say he's unreal. It's like, right, because they want him to tell them who the visitors are this weekend.
Now, I want to get – some of these stories are great. Like, I love that story about Oregon State's coaching staff. I also want to get into the world of middlemen in sports, and now you're on like the national scene, right?
Oh boy, yeah.
And I'm sure you're seeing some big time meddlers. We have Andrew Nemec. He is our friend today. We're talking Cruton. Send your text in 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line right now. Is Rust, and he's got Sports Center for you.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Andrew Nemec is our friend of the day. He's the National Director of Recruiting for Scorebook Live. You know, we've been talking about how you got in the recruiting scene and kind of dipping your toes in. Now, as you've gotten more on the national side, I mean, and really one of the cool things about this and where I saw you making your name, like in the growth really happening was, I wish they would bring it back. But when the opening was here like that was sweet. And the top prospects from around the country would be here. But when you would go out there and you'd check it out, boy, you sat there and you saw it with your own eyes. Like you saw some pretty sketchy dude, the middlemen of college football as they are. How pervasive is that in the world of recruiting?
It's
like
really pervasive.
The middleman who's just looking for a cut and looking for his name.
I mean, it's complicated, right? Like the air quotes middleman ranges from people who are out to help the kids, and it's hard to know, right? Like that's one of the things I need to learn now doing it nationally.
Yeah.
Is I kind of know California a little bit, definitely know Washington, definitely know Oregon, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I know the whole deal here. And, you know, there are 7-on-7 programs here that would tout, like, look at our lineup of kids that went to colleges, and they've got 4 kids on their list that went to the Pac-12. They're all walk-ons. And you talked them into going there so you could put on your sign that
right.
You had Pac-12 players. But they could have been scholarship players in the Big Sky. And you can say, well, yeah, they wanted to play high-level ball. Right. It's your job as the mentor to tell them, do you want to play? Do you want to develop? Go play it at Eastern Washington. Don't walk on at Oregon. You're not going to get any reps when the season starts. Because they don't know how it works. I'm a walk-on. I'll do all kinds of stuff. No, you're going to be on scout team doing the scut drills, and then no one wants to deal with you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you break a big one, they're like, defense, you screwed up. Not, hey, great, maybe we should play him more. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Right. So,
unless you're a kid from like a small, like, this is going to be another time we bring him up, but Don Montiel, the walk-on from Marshfield who's going to Oregon State.
I love that kid.
I do too. I don't know how the kid didn't get recruited.
I
but
tried, man.
That is
I talked
more
to so many coaches.
That is more of a kid who just went to a small school.
I know.
And they're probably looking at it like, yeah, we're not quite sure. That dude has
the best quarterback in Oregon. He was the best quarterback in Oregon.
He checks every box.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, and he might
play.
And that is a walk-on that's worth taking that risk, and he had Big Sky offers, right? Because that could pan out for him in a big way. You're talking, there's other kids that there's no way that they will play at an Oregon or an Oregon State, and they take that flyer off of bad advice.
Right.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? If you're a tweener linebacker safety in high school, but you're good, you're not going to go to Oregon and suddenly be the starting inside linebacker. Noah Sewell's there. Justin Flo. I mean, it's just goofy. It's bad advice. And there's a lot of that. And luckily, you know, Oregon is in a very ugly spot right now because, as you know, there's a lot of infighting with Oregon high school coaches. They don't like each other at all. And there's different factions, which is ugly.
Yeah.
And then you've got these 7-on-7 coaches, and the talent's so fractured that they're recruiting them to their teams so their teams will be good by telling them, we'll get you scholarship offers, instead of we're going – and this is one of the ways I really have tremendous respect for Alex Brink. His pitch for eForce is always, we will develop you. You'll get better. You're going to be better on your high school film. You're going to be better when you go to camps. You're going to be better when you go to showcase events. It's on you to get the scholarships, right?
Yeah.
Like, but we'll make you better. We'll develop you. We have a good DB coach. We have a good linebacker coach, as opposed to – we're going to get as much talent as we can on our team. We're going to go to showcase events, not the best ones because we'll get rolled by the teams in California, but we'll go to these B-level events and we'll win and we'll win a title and you can tell people you're slept on and underrated. And that is so prevalent right now in Oregon that was part of the reason I left the Oregonian. I didn't want to cover it anymore.
Right.
It wasn't fun talking to these 7-on-7 programs and these high school coaches that were like, we've got 7 kids who are D1. There are 3 D1 kids or FBS kids in the state of Oregon this year. You don't have 7. There are only 3 in the whole state.
Yeah.
And then it's Nemec hates us. I'm like, it's not my responsibility to pretend that you guys are good. And you know what happens? If I call and I call Oregon State or Oregon or UNLV or Portland mm-hmm. State and I say, hey, go to, I'm making up a school. This school has nothing to do with any of this. Centennial.
Yeah.
Centennial's got 10 D1 kids and they waste a trip to Centennial. Not only are you cut off at Centennial, but then I can't help anyone else out either because I wasted time on a call.
Right.
You have to be honest. And behind the scenes, the conversations are very, very, very different than what people see publicly.
Yeah.
You know, Demir Collins ended up at Jefferson High School and he was a four-star prospect, top, one of the top running backs in the country, right? The conversation that was had behind the scenes with schools was very different than his star ranking. And now he's transferring from Oregon State and it didn't really pan out. And people are like, he was their highest rated running back. It's like, well, I think if you watch the film and you paid attention to his career, he's a good player, but he probably was a little bit overrated in terms of the spectrum. So sometimes those conversations are difficult to have. But you talked about middlemen, and I think it ranges. Like, people don't realize, you know, Don Johnson at Oregon, we hope for a speedy recovery for him. We hope he's doing okay. It was great to see him celebrate Kayvon Thibodeau get drafted because you've heard all kinds of stuff about how he's doing. So it's great that he was able to celebrate that moment. But people don't realize, like, he was one of, even though people think that he was like the bad guy in the state, he was very influential.
You talk about fractured coaches.
People despise him.
Yes.
Among Oregon high school coaches. I've read the text messages. I've been there when kids have come in from the big schools. I'm not going to name schools because I'm not trying to throw any of those coaches under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
But there are coaches, and Steve Pine, by the way, is not one of them. I want to be very clear. Steve Pine does an excellent job with recruiting. But there are some states or some big-time programs in this state who do almost nothing for recruiting. They don't pay attention to it. They don't worry about it. They don't help kids, really. And some kids would come to Madison High School from, name the school, some of the best schools in Oregon, and say, I can't get my name out there. Don, can you help me? Ding, 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 ding. Hey, UNLV, hey, I've got a kid for you. Yeah, you're going to offer him? Okay, just a second. Here he is. Offer. Yeah. I've seen it. And so this idea that Don was doing it for himself, he never said transfer to Madison. Those kids didn't transfer to Madison. But there is a vacuum in Oregon where there are coaches who don't do anything in recruiting. And Don was that power player.
Boy, you're not the first person to say that because, I mean, we were talking, you know, we had Joe Bushman in from Lewis and Clark last week, too. And he was talking about how, you know, when you go to different schools and, you know, there's a different caliber of athlete like here and there. And there's some coaches, you know, that I'll never understand this, but they only will cater to the D1 programs, right? Where you're doing a disservice to most of the kids that'll come through your program if you're not rolling out the red carpet for the smaller schools, because that's where most of
your kids are going to go. So you want to take the cool picture on your phone or have the cool contact in your phone somehow, I guess, because you can't really talk about it. That, like, oh, I talked to Washington's defensive coordinator, to Oregon's defensive coordinator. Cool. When was the last time you sent a non-walk-on to either of those programs?
Yeah.
Why don't you hit up Eastern Oregon and Southern Oregon and Western Oregon and Eastern Oregon get to know those guys? Because guess what? You're helping your program, your kids, and enriching the state by doing it.
We're here with Andrew Nemec. He is the recruiting coordinator, Scorebook Live. You know him right here on The Fan. He does, well, most of our fill-in hosting and the recruiting show with Andrew Nemec. We're talking about the path down the road and getting into recruiting. And I need to hear a war story or two. I want some of the best recruiting stories that you have, good and bad. Because I mean, for every the train wreck some is the one them, that people are going to want to hear.
Some of them I still can't get into.
The good ones, though, we can leave out names. We can change names, dates, and locations for the safety of those involved.
Sure.
All right. Andrew Nemec continues with us. This is Dusty and Friends on The Fan.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Andrew Nemec is with us. On the recruiting trail, there's always war stories out there. Good and bad. What are some of the best ones? I want to dive into this because you hear things because these kids will open up to you. The coaches will open up to you. Sometimes you'll get parents that reach out and say, what is going on here? What are some of the stories that have you've come across where you've just been like, I cannot believe that this is happening? You don't have to name names if you don't want to, because I know that some of them are deeply personal in what's going on in the world of recruiting and maybe even illegal.
Yeah. Now it's legal, though. They just slap NIL on it. And here's the thing, like, the prices have gone up, but the bidding hasn't.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Like
more
bidding
schools,
has always
more
been
schools
there.
Are kind of bidding, but schools have always been there. Was supposed to for a long time be a flat rate of like $5,000 to get a visit from a top 100 prospect.
Okay.
If you're from the South, to go to an SEC school. So a lot of guys would know, like, I'm going to LSU, right? Like I'm going to LSU. I'm going to take visits to Mississippi State, Kentucky, Ole Miss, and Florida.
Yeah.
$5,000 a pop.
It's a good.
Get that money. Get that $20,000.
Good $20,000 you're getting.
So, you know, that stuff happened. I think one of the more shocking things, and I'll tell some other stories, but one of the more shocking things is how front facing it was in basketball before the FBI probe. I would go to the Hoop Summit and I'd go to practices, and athletes would say, I'd interview them, and be like, "Who's your top four?" You know, and they're like, "Well, I'm gonna cut it," or they have a top seven, and I'm like, "I'm gonna cut it to four." And I was like, who's going to make your four? He's like, well, the Under Armour schools. It's like, well, how come the Under? Like, that's a unique, weird, all four Under Armour schools, huh?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I'm an Under Armour guy. Like, I'm an Under Armour athlete. It's like, well, you're not supposed to be. You're in high school. And guys
sitting there looking around like, no.
I heard that 5-6 times. Just on the mic, you're being interviewed.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, my sister got a job with Nike or Adidas, and it's like, oh, or my AAU team is sponsored by them. And
absolutely.
And oh, interesting. You're traveling all over the country. And then you'd see that AAU coach, like you talk about middlemen at the event, like make sure he doesn't do, you know, this drill and this drill, he's not going to do, and he's not going to do this drill. It was all because that money got funneled through those AAU coaches.
You know, that's the interesting part too. Cause that, like, was it Michael Porter Jr., right? His dad all of a sudden gets Lorenzo Romar's head is on the chopping block at UW. And he gets hired to go up and be an assistant at UW. That's when the Porter boys go and they play at Nathan Hale for Brandon Roy.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he's at Missouri the very next year, because that's when the axe came down. And where did Michael Porter Jr. go? Missouri. Weird. His dad got a job there.
That's why I have so much respect for Kelly Sopek, who is a coach in California, does women's basketball, girls basketball. He was very close with Sabrina Ionescu, her private trainer, basically. And he coaches a number of he is a queen maker in California basketball. Washington offered him a job when it was down to Sabrina, was down to Oregon and Washington.
Oh.
They offered him an assistant coaching job and a good salary. And he turned it down. And he's very qualified. He's one of the best coaches in America. He turned it down because he wanted Sabrina to make her own personal choice. And he told her that. I turned this down so you can make the choice that's right for you.
See,
and
there are good stories here.
I think that's really incredible. And then not only that, but Oregon finally gave her a cutoff and just said, hey, at some point, like, we're starting freshman orientation.
Yeah.
So they knew she was in the car with her stuff. And she was either going, up I-5 North. And she was either going to stop in Eugene, or she's going to keep going and go up to Seattle.
They had no idea. It's move-in day.
Sabrina Ionescu. No one knew.
What?
So I knew some of the players. I couldn't talk to the coaches. That's a violation. But I knew some of the players. And I said, if Sabrina comes, text me. If Sabrina walks in the building, text me. So they're starting the tour. And they start to tour the arena. And in walks Sabrina Ionescu, not to a dorm, not to anywhere else. Walks into the arena with her bags, all her stuff.
Ball is life. Here we go.
I'm coming to Oregon.
I'm moving in. Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is nuts.
So that's how Oregon found out. They started the tour, and she joined them on the tour with her stuff. And it's like, I'm Sabrina Ionescu. I'm coming to Oregon, too.
Wow. So UW just had an empty scholarship they didn't even use.
So UW went, wah, wah. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is nuts.
There's the worst story I've heard. A 5-star recruit visited a Pac-12 school and went on a Friday and got super hammered before the game, right? Super hammered. They play Saturday,
which is common.
Showed up to the team breakfast and put his head down. He was wearing a polo, put his head down on the table, I've heard this story multiple times. It definitely happened. Put his head down on the table, and a baggie of cocaine fell out of his pocket onto the team table.
You're kidding me. At the team, like the pregame meal for the team?
Yes. He grabbed his cocaine, put it back in his pocket, and got the gotta-goes, scrambled, like panic scrambles, to the bathroom. He's followed by staff from that program and a couple of players. Because they're going to be like, dude, you got to go.
Yeah. Right?
Opens the door to the bathroom and projectile vomits all over the floor in the bathroom. Spews everywhere. And
You're kidding me.
They told him, we're moving your flight up. You're not coming to the game. We're not recruiting you. And the fan base at the time was pissed that they didn't get it. Why didn't we get so-and-so? He done showed up with cocaine on his OV.
My goodness.
Yeah.
That is wild.
That's a wild one.
Andrew Nevick is here. You mentioned NIL. I want to get your thoughts on that. How is that changing the world of recruiting? Is it making it easier or harder to follow? This is Dusty and Friends on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.